Just before I came down, Linda, in the same manner as three words spoken in jest, Linda just said to me, "There's no point in going down there and bringing your sermon. It's already been said." You know, but that's the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, I believe that He works in us and He lays stuff on our hearts. And if you hear something which is on your heart and you've thought about it before, it's confirmation that it's from the Lord, I believe. So, forgive me if you've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. But Scripture is repetitive at times, but all Scripture is useful for teaching and disciplining and rebuking. So we're going to go through our Scripture. So this morning, it's lovely to see you all here on this bright, dry, and that's what I like. I don't mind cold when it's dry and bright. It's lovely. But it's when it's cold and miserable and dank, it's depressing. But the Lord's been gracious to us. He's given us the sunshine as well as the frost. And when you look at the frost, you see His handicraft in it, because there's not two bits of frost with the same pattern in it. It's brilliant. It's like us. We're all different. We're all individuals. And that's what the Lord loves. He loves our diversity, our individualism. And He loves us individually, not collectively. We are important to Him as individuals. I want to read this morning, and it's from the New King James Version, from Romans 1, 18 to 32. And it's entitled, God's Wrath on Unrighteousness. Starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So reads the Word of God. Let's just pray before we look into that. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open our minds this morning to hear your word. Lord, I pray that my lips will be your lips, and you, we only want to hear from you this morning. No one wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. Lord, we want to hear and to be able to put into practice all that you have to say to us. Lord, we've got to rely on you because all of your promises, as it's already been said this morning, are yes and amen. Lord, increase our faith through your word. Feed us, for we need you this morning. And we ask it all in and through the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this morning's message I've entitled, How Low Have We Fallen? And you know, you've only got to switch on the radio or watch the television or pick up a newspaper to see just how far we have fallen. The strife that's going on in this world, and there's very little thought given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, it's nearly a dirty word. And you even see it on the television, that it always hurts me more when you see people of the cloth, people with colours on there, and they're given the opportunity to mention the Lord. And they'll talk about anything, but they never mention Jesus. There's very, very few that will ever mention it. They're given the opportunity, but they'll talk about anything, where it's come dancing, painting, you know, how great these paintings are and all the rest of it. They'll talk about that, but they won't talk about the Lord who gave those artists the skill to put that paint on in that way. Today, the world appears to have little time for God, and most consider obedience as a dirty word. You know? Or at least, it's very little relevance. Couples, if they decide to marry, they plan their weddings out. And most of them write their own wedding vows now. And unlike us who have been here, they tend to omit the love, honour and obey bit, which I find very, very disturbing. But maybe that's me, I don't know about you. But I would say to anyone who's getting married, if they're thinking about omitting the love, honour and obey from their wedding vows, they should consider whether or not they want to make that commitment. You know, it's like a Christian. When they come to the Lord, you've got to be sure that you're making that commitment to love, honour and obey. Because if you don't love, honour and obey, then you'll not stay the race. You will fall by the wayside. Today, this world is a much darker place, and it seems to be getting darker by the minute. But we shouldn't be surprised about that, because we're warned about that in Scripture, which is our map, if you like, well, through life. And if we look at what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it reads, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good." You know, that is more or less what I've read in the first reading, put into more of today's language. And we see it happening today. When you just look at the newspapers, this week, for instance, all that's been in the news has been about Brexit. And Brexit, whether you like it or don't like it, doesn't matter. But on the television, there's been politicians who have suffered abuse because of their standing. Whether they were for it or against it, there's one group abusing another group. And it's the divisiveness. And that's what Satan likes. He likes getting in and causing splits and dividing people up, because it's the old thing, isn't it? Divide and conquer. You know, and that's what he's about. Brexit has become a very divisive subject, occupying a large portion of our news. And the sad thing is, from all that I've heard, not one, none of the politicians, none of the commentators, none of the people who have been interviewed have a scooby about what's going on or what it means. They don't know what it means. After 2 years of negotiations with the EU, you know, we're no further forward. Nobody knows what is going to be the outcome, how it's going to affect us, whether it's going to be good, whether it's going to be bad. But you know, as Christians, we don't need to worry about that because we know one who does know, and that's God, because his will be done. You know, and that's one thing that I think we can grab hold of and remember, that his will be done, no matter what man tries to do. And we hold on to his promise from Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, and that's such a wonderful, wonderful promise. And it's something that I hold on to, so I don't worry about what happens with Brexit. You could say, well, at my time of life, I don't really need to worry because I haven't got that much longer to worry about it anyway, you know. But my concern is not just for me. My concern is, as we've already said today, is the young people who are coming up. We've got to consider them. And that's why I believe it's important that we instill into them the values of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they can grab those same truths and have that same belief that, and assurances that we have, they will have that peace of mind and not suffer from all of these maladies that are going around, whether it's anorexia, not liking the way they look, and it's all media driven. It's all the way the world is. It's a very sad fact, and it's an obvious fact, that this country has lost its way and is drifted and is still drifting further away from God than ever. Those of us who are old enough, I'm saying, myself included, go back 50 years or so, this was what you would call a really Christian country. Every child in my school had a Bible in their satchel because you needed it when you went to RE. You needed it in the morning when you went into assembly, because every morning before school started, you went into assembly, you had a Bible reading, you would have had a little talk from the headmaster. My headmaster was a minister, Bootsy Malone, and he was a lovely chap, but he held everybody's attention. He never shouted, never heard him shouting. He'd be talking ever so low, and everybody would be straining to hear. You wouldn't have heard a sweetie rapper being opened in that assembly room. I tell you, it was so quiet. And he was such a lovely man, a Christian man as well. But you know, schools, Christians in schools now have got a hard time because they've got to be careful of what they do and what they say. Christians in the general, in the world, have got to be careful what they say. If we say something against, shall we say, homosexuality, you're homophobic, you know? And you try to preach, like, no, I am against the sin, but I love the sinner. No, you're homophobic, you know. But that's the way of the world. But I can also remember back then, just shows you how old I am, when you were filling in your forms for whatever it was for, or it was a government form or whatever, the first line was, put in your Christian name, you know. But, you know, for quite some time now, I tried to look it up in Google to see when the forms changed. And there's no reference in there, so I couldn't find anything in there about it. But I know it's quite a while back. But it was such a subtle change that nobody, Christians, even Christians, didn't object to it. We just accepted it. And that's the way Satan works. He doesn't always come in with a big sledgehammer and do things where you get a warning from, you think, oh, that's dangerous. He comes in very gentle. And he puts in it nice and, you know, well, this is nice, you know, this is diversity, this is the type of diversity that you should be thinking about. You should be accepting this, move on, times have changed. And they forget the scripture that he never changes. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, so his premises never change. We can change the laws of the country. That's man's laws. But his laws and statutes will never change. And he is the judge that we're going to have to answer to on Judgment Day, not the High Court or the Lords, the House of Lords, but to the Lord Almighty is the one that we're going to have to go to. You know, today the church attendance numbers are decreasing right throughout the country, in this country, though over in Africa, China, and other countries which one time we would thought were un-Christian countries, the church is growing in strength. So his kingdom is getting stronger. So don't let the devil pull you down by thinking that because we're growing weaker, that the church is growing weaker, because that's not the fact. Yeah, we're growing older, but the children are still coming up, and the children of God are still coming up in all parts of the world. So that is something to be enthused about rather than depressed. I don't want to be too depressed this morning. But you know, even our government seemed to have forgotten biblical principles. At one time, this country, as I say, was a Christian country, and a lot of the laws were based on biblical concepts. But now, a lot of it has been disregarded, i.e., the Bible's more or less been taken out of the schools. It's been taken out of the government. Very few government meetings start with a prayer now, where one time it used to be even the councils used to have a prayer before they started business. But all of that is more or less been outlawed now, because it's not law, it's not PC. And this has all been accepted by the government and put into practice, put into law, valued and sanctioned by the head of the Church of England, i.e. the Queen, who's got a sign on anything before it can become law anyway. So if she signs it, she must be sanctioning it. And I think it's no wonder that this country and the world in general finds itself in such a bad way. Why? Simply because of the lack of obedience to the Word of God. As a Christian, and by this, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I believe it's important that we remember our spiritual values, the spiritual values of our faith. One of the verses which always reminds me of the spiritual values, the most important one, the one that we should all remember, is from Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The values of this country and many others around the world today seem to be measured solely by what you're worth, how much you can earn, what you own. And they seem to forget and ignore the scripture that says, if you look at Mark's Gospel 8, verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, there's an old saying, you come into this world with nothing and you go out of the world with nothing. There's no pockets and strides. And it's true. You know, so it doesn't matter how important you get in this world, you're all going to go into the next world, and you're going to have to answer to the Lord as to how important you are. You know, and if he doesn't know you as his son or daughter, well, forget it. I think it's very important that we don't forget our commitment to witness for Jesus, though. We've got to shine his light into this dark world, because otherwise, who's going to do it if we don't? We need to stand firm on our biblical teachings and not allow them to be diluted by political correctness or PC. We need to remember to be strong, and we need to be bold. And it doesn't come to us all naturally. I'm very shy, as I'm sure you'll notice. Yeah. But, you know, we need to look at Scripture, and Scripture will give us the strength. John 14, verse 17, tells us straight. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So what's the point of us having the Spirit of truth in us if we don't share it and share him with others? And that's what I believe that the Lord Jesus told us and meant, to share his Spirit with them, when he told his disciples in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You know, you notice there he says, go and make disciples of them. So if we love the Lord Jesus, that makes us disciples. We are his disciples. And as his disciples, that same commandment applies equally to us. We are commanded to go and preach the gospel to all around. But, you know, the lovely bit about that passage is the reassurance that Jesus gives us that he will always be with us, even to the very end of the age. You know, Jesus doesn't ask you to go out and do something on your own. He will lead you out to do it. All you've got to do is trust him and step out with him, hand in hand, and he will lead you. So don't ever think you're going to do it on your own, where you're going to talk to the neighbour, you know. Because I've gone to talk to people and think, oh, what am I going to say? And then all of a sudden, I become quite eloquent. And I wonder where I come from, you know. But it certainly didn't come from me. But it's surprising what the Lord will do for you. Well, it's not surprising if you listened about the hymn and you know how, the Lord, you know. It won't surprise you what the Lord can do. You know, you have no reason to worry what the outcome of Brexit will be, as I said, because we know that the Lord's will be done. So if you've fallen far, as the question of this day, how far have we fallen? What is the answer? We've already mentioned it this morning. My brother up at the back stood up and told us this morning what it was, didn't you, Michael? And the answer is quite simple: revival. That's what this country needs. And you know, we can't do a lot about revival. All we can do is pray for it and seek the Holy Spirit to do the work. Because if he doesn't set us on fire, the fire won't happen. Not unless we're going to the wrong place. Yeah. But it's quite simple that that's what we need. We need to return to God as a country. We need to repent. And we need to seek his forgiveness. And we need to start putting into practice all his words, as scripture tells us. And the lovely one, which will be relevant for next Saturday's prayer meeting, is a reading from 2 Chronicles 7 to 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know, and that's not just a fairy story, that's a promise. You know, and something that we need to take serious. Well, I think I've gone on enough. I'm just going to leave you a little poem that was sent to me this week. And forgive my reading, I'm not really a poet. But this was sent from one of my cousins, and I thought it was quite nice. If you have a secret sorrow, a burden or a loss, and making need for healing, hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is heavy, hang it on the cross. If every obstacle of faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness and dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph. Hang it on the cross. So the answer to all our problems is Jesus, who went to the cross to pay the price for our sins. And he loved us enough to do that willingly. And he loves us enough to help us with whatever problems we may face in this life. All we've got to do is to trust him and to ask. His word tells us, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye will find. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reassurance that you give for those who know that there is no need to worry because, Lord, you have all the answers. Lord, we ask that you increase our faith. Lord, be gentle with us and forgive us when we just go wrong, because we do from time to time. But Lord, you love us anyway. So Lord, we just pray and plead with you that you send your revival to this country, Lord. Lord, that we need you to do it, because without you, we can do nothing. Our trust is only in you, Lord. So Lord, we just pray that you will bless us this morning as we bless you. And just be with us this coming week and through the coming years, Lord. You're always there with us. And we don't know whether we've got tomorrow. But Lord, you give us power and strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And you are our hope. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.